If what's going to happen wasn't so comical, I'd think it tragic.
Podcast episode 342. I'm Matt Durson.
Clay Inferno.
Welcome back, Clay. We are fresh from the head 50th anniversary Mickey Dolenz Q&A and screening and everything. And
I was just blowing some smoke up your A before the show, saying how great of a job you did moderating the panel with Mickey Dolenz.
The Monkees. Mickey Dolenz, the Monkees. Yeah, moderated the, I guess it's a panel, whatever it is. It's like a Q&A, and I don't know.
Yeah,
I
was fun
sharing the stage with him. And
a special screening because the Monkees movie head is 50 years old.
That's right.
And we sat out, well, and a rare occurrence happened as well. Not only did the, did you get to do a panel with Mickey Dolenz, which was great, but all of the league was together in one place.
That's right. That is rare these days. So John, Josh, and you yourself.
And Josh had never seen it.
Yeah.
And right before, like, the black and white Davy Jones Nilsson song, I was like, dude, this is my favorite part.
That is a fun part. I like, I don't know what my favorite part. I think I like Mickey with the Coke machine and that's all very fun too. But,
and I was thinking
all very interesting.
Of the movie too. Like, obviously like everybody was like stoned or like taking acid or something, but like to do those effects, like you could do those like video effects of, all the solarization and all the different like bright colors, like you could do that on your phone now, but to do that like with film stock in the 60s was like, that was like a lot of work, man. That they were just,
yeah,
like,
the effects are actually pretty interesting for a low budget, you know, like movie. As he said, it was $300,000 or something, you know, like,
but was that
still
was
low
that a
budget
lot of money
years ago
for
I don't know
ago?
I mean, like, I don't think it was a lot of money, but I mean, yeah. I don't know. It was.
I'm sure
Lawrence
of Arabia wasn't $300,000. It was
probably
more, right? So, yeah. Another desert movie. Another great movie.
Yes. Well, this one had it all. Anyway, yeah, it was a fun movie. I had a good time up there with Mickey. All I had to do was kind of get the ball rolling, and he talked a lot. But he was very gracious. It was almost like we were having a conversation at some points, except.
Well, for people that weren't there, what do you remember most? Like, what answer was most interesting to something that you asked, or like John asked, or like whatever? Like, what did you learn the most?
I asked about the soundtrack to the movie, which is really. I said it was, I think it was some of their best work, and he said he did too.
Yes.
So I thought that was pretty interesting. That was pretty fun because, he made a point. He kept kind of going back to, it was just a show about a band that wanted to be like the Beatles. They weren't a band that had a show. They were a show, and on the show, they played a band. It's kind of like he said it was like Glee or whatever, you know, so stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he kept saying that, but I said, but at the same time, you were a band. And you made a great soundtrack is kind of what I was getting
at. And he said he kind of like, you know, all of them really thought about their they're two different things with the same name, almost like the touring, you know, record studio part, you know, like was one thing because they had to go on the road and probably had to like learn how to, you know, like be a band on tour together instead of just actors that show up to set one day, you know?
Yeah, he said there was Monkees, you know, and Monkees 1.2 or whatever like that. You know, there was one that was just the show, and then, you know, there was the band that went on tour, and played. And he didn't really – he played a little bit, but, like, Peter Tork and Mike Nesmith were actually real musicians who were acting. And Davy Jones and Mickey Dolenz were actors who learned to play a little bit.
Right. Like, well, Mickey obviously knows how to play the drums, but, like –
Well, yeah, he learned.
There's more to it. Like, he's written songs like on guitar, and like he's still performing today.
Yeah, he still performs today. So that's
he does like a solo thing with his daughter, I think, like an acoustic guitar kind of thing. Because that's the most recent stuff that's like on his website. But very cool, man. I learned a ton. It was so good because, he gave us kind of like the secret. It's kind of like these comic books that we're reading where like nothing really ever changes. It's just always like the status quo. Like, you know, the Monkees could never achieve success otherwise, you know, if it had gone on for 20 seasons, even, you know, like there would be no show if they actually got, they would almost have to like do like almost like a Scott Pilgrim thing and like do the Battle of the Bands to almost get there to open for the Beatles or something as like the brass ring, but they just never do, you know?
Yeah,
like,
you could never do it because otherwise there would be no point in watching it. Yeah, really. I noticed that too. Like, I never really thought that much about the Monkees. I just thought it was a funny show.
Right. Yeah.
But the idea of like, sometimes where shows do that, like where they suddenly achieve success and you're like, oh, wait a minute. That's not really what this show's about. Like,
or that's like how you wrap it up, like on an Entourage or something. Like he's like give him like the Aquaman role, and then that's the last episode.
But they went on for like five more seasons. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I always thought Extras. Did you watch Ricky? We've talked about Ricky.
I've watched.
I always kind of thought like it wasn't the same when he actually got on a show. You know what I mean? Like he became the regular, or as the guy who was just, is he having a laugh? You know, like whatever. I thought like, oh, that's not really what this show is about. It wasn't as funny, and it was kind of like weird because he became this kind of haughty, you know, big star actor. And I was like, oh, that's not really. I don't really feel like watching this show anymore. You know what I mean? Not like, not that it was bad, but I was kind of like, oh, it's not what I tuned in for. You know?
Is he having a laugh?
Having a laugh, So, anyway, so yeah, Mickey has a good point there. It's like a different show if you do that. John did bring up a good point about if you could only do one or the other, which one, you know, would you have preferred or whatever? I don't, you know what I mean? Like,
been either a band or
just a show. I think it was more like, would it have worked if one or the other? I don't know. It was really interesting. If you think about it, nowadays there's like The Voice and everything, and they're manufacturing, you know, like artists.
Yeah.
All the time.
Right.
Back then, it was like a big deal, and they were like kind of criticized for being this fake band.
But they're fake band, and that's when, you know, everybody else wrote other people's songs.
Yeah, that's true too.
Like that just carries over like into today. Like, you know, Cardi B is like at the top of the charts right now or whatever, but like she didn't really write any of those songs. It's all songwriters.
Yeah, of course. And that's, but like, it's funny that now it's more accepted and just kind of understood.
Yeah, now it's just part of it.
Like, the Monkees
was like,
were like,
started that.
They kind of got made fun of.
Yeah.
It was like they called them the Prefab Four. You know, the Beatles were the Fab Four, and these are the Prefab Four. And they just, that's what Head was all about.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, it's like, it was kind of like this, like, oh, you're not real. They yeah, even like, did a joke in The Simpsons, right?
In the beginning, but like the thing with the TV sets in the beginning of the we are the monkeys, the manufactured.
Yeah, and that was part of the idea, was to do something completely different so that they wouldn't.
What about
you know.
The Simpsons? Sorry.
They made a joke. I remember once in The Simpsons where, like, they said, "That's not even Mike Nesmith's real hat." I always thought that was really funny.
Oh, that's good.
But it's such a funny, because now every band, you know, not every band, but so many bands are just made up, and you know what I mean. And they're just a pretty girl,
you know,
who can sing, and like they don't do anything else. They just go out there and dance and sing.
But at least the Monkeys had a couple. A lot of time they write their music, but they don't write all of it. And like, if there's a number one song, like especially like a country song, there could be like 20 songwriters on it. Isn't that crazy?
Right.
20 songwriters to make one song.
I know. It's ridiculous. Mickey did say something funny too. He said Mike Nesmith came in with a song one day and they said, "Oh, that's not a monkey song." And he's like, "But I am a monkey and I wrote it. So it's a monkey song." And then he gave it to Linda Ronstadt.
Dance to the beat of a different drum, that classic.
Yeah. But that was pretty hilarious.
But then, you know,
Linda
people.
That's another. Everybody wrote her songs.
People don't people might not know that. I don't know, like that Davy Jones didn't write that Harry Nilsson song, like in the middle of that. Like, even when they were and even if they were fans of the Monkees back then, they might just think, like, oh, the Monkees wrote this song. Probably to this very day.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, we're breaking the story now. If you didn't know.
50 years later.
Honestly, Davy Jones. Warning. Yeah, spoiler warning. Davy Jones, in the history of the Monkees, I don't think wrote that many, period. Even when they were writing their own songs, Davy Jones didn't really write that much.
Yeah.
But it's all right. I mean, he had his talents. Everybody had their own stuff. It's fine. I'm not making fun of anybody. But like,
well, you asked him about...
They didn't...
About the ladies. That was a good question.
Oh, I didn't ask. Somebody asked him about that.
Oh, that wasn't you?
That was that girl with the flower in her hair. I liked that. Dude had the Duran Duran shirt. Duran Duran?
Yeah, you were calling people out like from the audience. It was fun.
It's pretty funny. Yeah, you gotta try to keep it.
And then, like, you're like, please
keep it live.
Please come up to the microphone. The first question comes from the balcony. Hey, I was like, what?
Hey, Mickey! Yelling.
Even Mickey was like, yeah, please use the microphone because my hearing's not that great.
I know.
And like, hey, it was totally like from where I was sitting, which was probably directly below him. It sounded like the Peanuts, like teacher.
Yeah, I guess 50 years of touring has done a number on his hearing, but it's all right. It was a good time, though. Thanks to you. Thanks to the Regent Theater. Thanks to anyone who showed up.
Thanks
to Gary. And
hope he had a good convention this weekend.
Hope he had a good in Boxborough, which is a little far for us, but
Northeast Comic Con is, I think he's already booked the winter extravaganza.
Oh.
You know, like he reserves it ahead of time so that he could probably sell tickets to it at his convention. But we love Gary.
I don't think you can call it a Comic Con anymore, right? Isn't it like a extravaganza or something?
Yeah,
like
he adds a lot of extra words to it. He's like the Bendis of titling his
Comic Con.
Yeah, he just like has like all the really long title. It should just be called Northeast Comic Con or Boxborough.
Yeah, we'll just call it the Comic Con. But
Northeast Comic
Con, he gets it all
in collectibles extravaganza. Yeah, there'll be another one I think in December usually. So
yeah, so hopefully there'll be something cool that
buy
some
holiday gifts for your friends.
This was fun.
Regent
great. All right, Leland. Let's move along. Oh, yeah, Regent was great. Leland
Stein. I mean, that place has been around for 102 years. I love it. I love that place. Yeah. I love the Somerville Theater. I love old theaters like that. It's to feel the history when you're in places like that. A part of history, Durson.
Coolidge. Yeah, I'm a part of history, sure. I did a panel there once.
50th anniversary ahead, you know?
50th anniversary ahead.
Good deal. Let's talk about another 50th anniversary. How about that for a segue?
We have another 50th anniversary?
Yeah, Batman number 50.
Batman, not 50 years, but 50 issues.
Yeah, an anniversary of a monthly comic, or twice monthly.
Yeah.
Is it biweekly?
I guess so, yeah. It seems to come out a lot.
Man of Steel seemed to... Oh, that was weekly.
That's over. Yeah, that's weekly. Oh, no, is there one more? You know what?
I think it's weekly because Superman's next week.
Right, Superman, full-on Bendis.
Yeah.
And then they're doing another one, though, aren't they? Action Comics.
Well, Action 101.
1001.
1001. Let's talk about the old wedding-ish.
Spoiler warning. Although New York Times or whoever already spoiled it, right?
Yeah, they did. They spoiled it on like last Sunday, which is like a couple days before it actually came out.
Yeah, that
and
was
then they were like, "Well, we're sorry. We need help. Can you help us be able to report on these things without spoiling them?"
Is that what they said?
Yeah, they kind of like apologized and we're like, well, we don't know what comic books are, we just don't even know. We're sorry.
That's weird. I mean, who cares? I mean, whatever. I don't. I mean, I guess there was definitely a part, I mean, I'm sure you and I agree, like there was a big part that knew they weren't going to get married, right? I mean, that's spoiler warning, they didn't get married.
Yes, yes.
Batman again. And I think we kind of, there was a small part of me that hoped they would try it. You know what I mean? Like, right. And they would try it for like a year.
Right.
And then just have them go, it's not working and whatever. I mean, you can do whatever you want. It's a comic book. You can write whatever you want. But I kind of would have liked to have seen it for like a year or something, or 6 months. If it's going to be twice a month, they can only do it for 6 months. And then, like, they can just stop or whatever. And they could even stop for the same reason that they didn't get married. But I don't know. It was kind of pointless.
I mean, was it kind of pointless? I don't know if it was kind of pointless. I think that I wasn't really feeling it. And then I thought this was a good resolution, was to not have them get married, but give a lot of reasons why the pros and cons. And then, like, I thought it was clever how, you know, Catwoman's letter, like, is shown with all those series of splash pages.
Yeah.
You know, and if you read it, it explains, you know, yeah, hey, like, Batman can't be tied down, like he'll be happy and then he won't be Batman anymore. I can't do that to Gotham. I thought that was pretty
cool. Yeah, no, but okay, so here's that was all fine, although the some of the art was, most of the art was very good, those splash pages.
You got Paul Pope in there.
Yeah, you got Tim Sale, you got some really good, and then but Lee there were Bermejo. A couple I was like, oh my god, what the heck is that? But it doesn't matter, they were mostly very good.
Ty Templeton's wasn't good. I was why include him? Well, I guess he's like a Batman Adventures. Ty Templeton is cool, but like, why not Bruce Timm? Like, what? You know,
I don't really know
why he got picked.
So, I have another question, and this is probably going to just me. This is me broadcasting my ignorance. That woman who was supposed to be Catwoman's witness.
Yeah, Holly Robinson.
Who is that? Am I supposed to know who that is?
Yes.
I really don't know who that is.
But you have to go way back into your data files to find. It is, remember Batman Year One?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Do you remember there was like a little girl that was like living with Selina? That's Holly Robinson.
Is that kind of like the girl in Dark Knight Rises, who's kind of like,
yes,
her helper? Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Okay. So, I mean, I assumed it was something like that. I didn't remember her.
And she's done more. They've had her like sort of like grow up and be sort of like the Robin to Catwoman. Like, she's a little bit like, you know, she gets into her own trouble. Like, she doesn't have superpowers or anything, but she's like kind of like a sidekick, you know, to Catwoman.
Okay.
But all right, goes
so, but I mean, so, but she's not made up. I mean, I'm glad that she was somebody who was around for a while. So they break her out of Arkham or whatever. They let her out of, she gets out of Arkham just to do this.
Yep.
Of course, there's like, she's like, what? You're marrying, this is going to be your house. Okay, so. that's all well and good.
And I did like that also that like they have their one last night on patrol. Like
right.
Where and then there's Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Like Batman takes down one of them and then Catwoman takes down the other one over at Arkham.
Yeah.
I thought that was
fun, and that's when they decide, like, oh, let's just do it tonight and whatever.
Yeah.
I really liked too the moment where Alfred's like, do you want me to call Master Dick? Do you want me to call Master Clark? And he's like, no, I kind of want you to be the witness. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, of course. I just thought that was a nice moment. He's like, Alfred, you are the witness. Like, you and I have been through everything.
Speaking of Alfred, I also wish that when I came home from work, Alfred was just there to hand me a sandwich. Because
here you go. And he's just eating a sandwich. Like, it's bread. You know what I mean? Like, it's not but like, you know, this guy's psyched. The richest dude in Gotham or whatever. And he's
that's like a turkey sandwich with, like, American cheese.
A little bit of mayo. Yeah. Or something. Yeah, right.
Oh, look, there's another page where the Amanda Connor one, they're in the Gotham Zoo splash page. And he's also eating a sandwich with Catwoman.
Yeah, I remember there were two sandwich references in this one.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Okay, so they're getting ready. Holly is getting the dress already. Everything is working out great. Yeah, and Holly says, and Holly drops the line like, oh, you sure you want to do that? Kind of a thing. You know, like the whole thing you were just talking about, like Batman being happy or you know, and if he's too happy, he won't be able to be Batman, which is the same stuff that they covered in the Joker issue.
Yes.
A couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So she drops that little bombshell, which I assume is that's the impetus for the letter and her not showing up. Right. I mean, that's what it was.
Yeah.
So then at the end, she's in cahoots with the whole like rogues gallery. She shows up and Bane is there and Riddler is there and Joker is there and all these people.
And yeah, it seems like a deep cut, like as if this has been going on for a while. I don't know why Thomas Wayne is there. I don't get that.
I didn't get that either.
Didn't you see that there's a Batman with all the rogues?
I didn't really understand.
That's the...
The... What do they call it?
Crisis on Infinite Earth. Right. Whatever. Not, you know what I mean.
Flash? Was it Flashpoint?
The Flashpoint Thomas Wayne Batman. I don't have no idea why he's here. I have no idea who this girl is. Oh, actually, I do. That girl was in other Tom Kings. The girl that kind of looks like Catwoman has a little skirt on. But yeah, I think Bane is behind this whole thing.
Yeah, so why doesn't... I don't understand. I don't know. I guess we'll find out, but it seems a little strange. Like, why didn't they... So they didn't want Batman to get married either, I guess. Or there's some other...
No, they wanted to break him down emotionally.
Oh, yes. So they hope that he'll be so ruined.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
And then, follow up, the companion piece was Catwoman number one.
Came out the same week.
Yeah.
What was that about?
Well,
put on the cover, if you bought cover A, they actually tell you. Actually tells you on the cover, read Batman 51st, which is.
Well, I did not buy. I bought the.
I bought the
other one. Yeah, the painting.
A painted cover. Which I like painted covers, but I don't really like painted comics.
You like a painted cover. Yeah. I like the design in general. And is Joelle Jones drawing this book too?
No, Laura Allred.
Is drawing the book?
Yeah, I think so. Wow. What did I do with
it? I really like this. So, it looks cool.
All right. A bit of a bait and switch.
Joelle Jones, I see the name.
Oh, it is?
So who's, and then Laura Allred just did the colors. So,
all right.
Joelle Jones' book.
All right. I'll tell you. Well, first of all, I thought I saw the name Allred on the cover, and I assumed Mike Allred was working on it. And I get to the end and I discover that no, it is Laura Allred. So, and I know that's what they do now. Now they put the color artists on the cover.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but that kind of threw me a little bit.
But you could tell it wasn't Mike Allred when you're.
Yeah. I was like, wait a second. So, okay. I guess you like the design. I thought this book looked to me like it was made in 1993.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, is there anything wrong with that? I don't know.
Well, I kind of, in a way, like DC books in 93 all looked kind of like, I don't know. I don't want to say.
I thought it kind of looked like a little bit like Year One or something. So they got me thinking about Year One when they were talking about Holly Robinson earlier.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying it was bad necessarily. I was just kind of like, I don't know. I haven't decided if I liked it yet, to be perfectly honest.
I like Joel Jones' artwork in general, so... yeah. Okay. Surprised you even like a painted cover the way you
judge art. I just thought it looked cooler. It kind of looked cooler than the other one. So
it did look cooler. Besides, so. You're like, it's like an advertisement for Batman 50. Though there are cool cats. Cool looking cats.
There are. So yeah, this deal, she has left Gotham for, what's the name of that place? Villa Hermosa.
Mm-hmm.
And she's gambling and doing all kinds of stuff. She can't sleep. And meanwhile, there are copycat women running around murdering cops and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Alfred sends her her costume. Says, I took the liberty, sir. You know.
Okay. I like how they're... she slides down between the two escalators, like at the Porter Square.
Yeah.
Thing, and she jumps off.
Right. Evade the police.
And so there's like this, like, you know, decrepit lady, who has like all this fake stuff all over her face to make her look like, normal.
Yeah.
Almost
what's her
like
deal?
A little bit like. Oh, I feel like that's like something, but I can't put my finger on it.
I think they've done it, not necessarily in Batman, but I think I've seen
just like, I feel like, I want to say it was like in Quantum of Solace or something. Javier Bardem, doesn't he have like a fucked up face?
Yeah, maybe. I've definitely seen it where like, it's usually like a woman, like she takes off her wig and it's all like, she's got this hideous
like,
head.
Yeah.
But yeah, this woman is, she's the governor's wife. And she's doing all kinds of stuff behind the scenes, and she's behind all these copycat women.
I gotta say, I don't usually pick up cat women, but now I think I might continue with this series. I think I might want to see where it's going.
I mean, I guess I kind of want to see where it's going too. I hope that it wasn't one of those things where I was like, oh, this book is amazing, I'm gonna read it every month now. But I was like, oh, it's all right.
In a way, it makes me more excited also to read Batman because I know that they're not going to be dealing with the wedding thing anymore. And she's not going to be around.
Oh, yeah, she's not going to be around. That's true.
So.
It looks like they're setting up a Mr. Freeze arc in Batman. And then they've got that Joker thing that they've been promising us for like, I don't know how long,
what
forever.
Joker thing? What do you mean?
Where, like, they try to explain that there are three different Jokers.
Oh, they're going to explain that?
That's what I read. I don't know. Hopefully. They promised us that. When the hell was that? That was, like, last... I feel like that was, like, January or something. Or probably even more than that. It was, like, a year ago.
Not all of us get Joker alerts on our phone.
Well, I... no, I didn't... I guess it probably... That probably is where I read it. Yeah. I got a Joker alert. But yeah, so I mean, they've got, I mean, of course Batman's gonna have stuff to do and Catwoman will have her own series, which is good because the Catwoman had her own series for a long time and then they canceled it.
I'm more into the idea of reading all of the stuff that led up to issue 50 and the relationship stuff that I didn't like I've pretty much absorbed and processed all that, and now I kind of like it again now that it's over.
All right.
Like now that I see like where it sort of ended, I'm like, okay, like they did kind of, it was pissing me off like really a lot, but now I kind of see the big picture. And so Tom King says he has 100 issues in him, and this
really?
Was all you know, leading up to 50, 50, so he's halfway done. So
wow.
Hopefully we can resolve this Joker thing. And
I don't know when they're going to do that, but they've been promising that for a while. So
Was that a Scott Snyder thing, or was that a Tom King thing?
No, no. When they did this, whatever they call their new thing, DC...
Rebirth.
No, was it? What was the one they just... Is that the latest one?
Rebirth's the latest one.
Oh, okay. After New 52? Is that mm-hmm. what
it, yeah.
Whatever the new one was. Yeah, I guess they said, we're going to do this thing with the Joker, and we're going to tell you the story, how there's three of them over the years and whatever. And I don't know. To be perfectly honest, like, if I didn't love the Joker, I'd be a little Jokered out.
Yeah.
Between the White Knight thing and then this recent Best Man thing and whatever.
Oh, yeah. But not everybody was reading White Knight. Like, that was almost like for the trade paperback.
Well, like, they should have been reading it because it was fucking awesome.
They should have been.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But, I mean, it's not like you're reading a detective or whatever, you know? Like,
no. Yeah, right.
I did skim through a couple of issues of that, and it's just it's so complicated. There's all this Batwoman stuff going on, and there's no Joker, and I just don't know. I can't follow it. I'm sure it's good. Maybe if there's somebody knows out there, like, where's a good spot to start reading it from, or if I need to wait a month or two so that they can reset it over there, simplify things, that would be great. Let us know.
Let us know, yeah.
Because I always love Detective Comics. Him, like, well, actually I like doing it crime sometime. Work, you know?
Yeah. I liked it.
Done right.
You know, sometimes it. Yeah. Let's talk, DJ. Do you want to talk Captain America number one?
I did, actually. It's the last. I reached over my stack here, and I put that one right on top.
Oh, okay. Top of the stack.
Top of the stack.
This is this guy. I can't even. I don't even want to try to pronounce his name,
Nasi Coates.
Coates?
We'll just call him Coates. Coates.
The writer. So he...
And Lydia Francis Yu, who was awesome in Ultimate Comics, so it's good to see him return to Cap.
Yeah, no, the artwork was great.
I love Lydia Francis Yu. The last thing I saw him do was a Mark Miller thing. Miller World, forget which book. But yeah.
Yeah.
This is better than Mark Waid's run on the character. It's sort of return to actual...
Well, they're still doing this sort of, like... I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. It's almost like this, like, kind of, like, sad, like, oh, everyone hates me because they think that I was with Hydra. Right. Meh. Like, thing.
And it threw me off, and I thought it was... I didn't know from... Because I haven't been reading Cap or Falcon Cap or any of those Caps. I started to read the Mark Waid Somni one, which I thought was great for the art. I wasn't into the stories.
No.
But it's almost like this picks up, like, you know, right after all of that Hydra Cap stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, almost but ignores that... all the Mark Waid stuff.
The Waid Sammy stuff.
But anyways, like, I didn't know, like, that Sharon Carter was...
She's old.
She somehow aged because of the something that happened with the Hydra Cap.
No, it was before that. It was a while ago.
Oh,
she's been old for a while.
Oh, I didn't know. I always thought she was, like, you know, like she is in the movie.
No.
So yeah, I didn't. I was like,
she was young. Princess, like, you
can't
you know.
Draw like a young lady. Like I thought it was like a fault of his artwork.
And no, I was no, like, no.
Wait a minute, and then I kind of like.
She does.
It out.
She describes it a little bit. She's
yeah,
like,
she does.
I was in the other dimension and.
Yeah.
Blah blah blah.
Oh, was that like the Remender run when he was like in an alternate dimension?
Yeah, I think she
that
went
was
to
like
that
a
same
long
dimension.
Time ago.
She went to that same dimension and then like. But she didn't come back young. Like he came back, you know, because time worked differently or whatever. Somehow he came back
Super
the same
soldiers.
Age. Super. Yeah. And she came back as an old lady because she was there for like years and years.
Yeah, that's like the it was just I don't mean to talk about Star Trek because it's just fresh on my mind because I watched all of the new Star Trek movies this weekend. That's what I did with my time off. But but like good. When first something happens where like Spock Prime, it only lasted for like 4 seconds when he went through the black hole, but for right. Nero it was 24 years or yeah. something like that. Like the time bended in a way so that when Spock showed up, it was just like in real time almost, but for Nero he'd been waiting around for 24 years.
Yeah, he had been waiting for that moment forever. So yeah, I mean it's similar, whatever. So I don't remember exactly what happened. I just knew from reading picking up like a Cap issue of like a couple years ago, and I was like, oh, she's old. I don't care. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't like that for some reason.
I wish she was young too. Yeah, maybe they'll bring her back or something.
And they're sitting here and they're at dinner and they're holding hands. I'm like, I know I shouldn't feel this way, but that's, she's old. You know what I mean?
Like, don't you feel the exact same way in First Avenger, like when he's like talking right. to Peggy, like they aged her and it like didn't look that great. And it was like,
right. But I mean, that was
fresh.
It was cute. And it was, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Cause she had aged and he had not, like, so he still looked as good as ever. And she died, you know, and she died an old lady, like in Civil War. She was like 90 years old. Whatever. Or if she was, yeah, because if she was like in her 20s or whatever.
Right.
So, but I mean, like, yeah, I mean, but that was different because that's how it's supposed to go. Like, she actually just aged regularly. I hate this, like, oh, you went into another dimension. Like, oh, come on. Like, this, what is this?
That's what happens.
I don't like it.
That's what happens.
I did like, so Bucky is in this. Like, that's
yeah,
good.
Bucky's
they
in
brought
this.
Brought him back into the fold.
And they take on not just one nuke, but like an army of,
a bunch of nukes.
A small cabal of nukes. Oh. And who we last saw on, what was it, Daredevil or Jessica Jones? Jessica Jones season one?
Jessica Jones.
Season two as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is like, the nuke super soldier, like pills, they just gave them to like a bunch of people and tattooed the American flag on a bunch of people's face.
Yeah, and apparently they also have cybernetics. And
I love Nuke as a character, like from
really.
I just like you know they use him so sparingly that you don't like get sick of him, you know.
Well, I guess that's true, but I mean he's kind of B list, you know. I mean
yeah, but he's kind of. Always reminds me of Cap. Like it's just like he's like one of those like versions of Cap that they tried to, you know, they keep trying to make like a new Cap, and then you get like, you know, this.
Well, I do kind of like the idea that, I mean, like he's wearing this guy. He's like, why did you turn your back on us? Kind of a thing. Like he's like, no, you're the terrorist. Like it's in a way, but Cap kind of feels bad. He's like, this guy, he's wearing my flag on his face.
Right.
And he's saying, like, why did you do this? But Cap is like, no, I'm the good guy. You know what I mean? It's like, I do like that moment. There's some good moments in this. Overall, I don't know. I was a little, it's a little just too, like, it's almost like Batman, you know, where he's kind of, like, dark and talking in captions and just kind of, I don't know. I expect Cap to be a little more, like, upbeat. Maybe.
This to me reads like an issue of Ultimate Cap, and I liked that about it. So all I right. think maybe the same things you don't like about it, I sort of do like
probably
about it.
Do.
Like that it's just a little bit more like it's a little bit more gritty, especially contrasted with Wade Insomni's run, which is like really poppy.
Well, it's not gritty at all. But yeah. I only read one issue of that and I said, nah, never mind.
I think maybe read like three or four. But yeah, I didn't stick with it at all. So who knows? Maybe it ended.
Maybe it was great. Yeah.
Maybe it was great. Yeah. Maybe it was great. That's why it's still great. In the book then. So. Whoops.
I do want to also say, like, I thought, like, when I first picked this up, I'm like, oh, this is like a super long book. There's like 4 pages of ads for Fantastic Four in here, and it's really annoying.
Well, they have the like the fold out.
Yeah, and then there's another one like 2 pages later, almost the exact same thing.
Yeah,
just a single page though. I was like, why did we need that? That's got to be a mistake, right? Like, do you literally not have any other books coming out in July that or August or whatever that you have to do this?
Yeah.
God damn. Oh well. And then they also bring back a sort of old school X-Men villain with the Selene woman.
Yeah.
She was in the X-Men like when I first started reading that. So I don't know where that's going, but I guess they're taking over the Russia or whatever. I don't know. I mean, I'll probably stick with it, but I don't know. I didn't know what to make of it right off the bat. I was kind of like, I don't know. I don't know what I want out of Cap.
What do you want?
I don't know what I want Captain America to be. I kind of just want this Secret Wars or whatever the hell it was called, this Hydra Cap thing. Mm-hmm. I kind of just want that to be over and done with and forgotten.
I think it is now. I think they've
got but he talks about it this whole issue.
But I
want them to not even talk about it anymore. I'm over it.
He's got to move on from there. I think what you have to do when you jump on a book too is kind of like clean some things up before you can get.
Well, roll up. I mean, if you're gonna, I don't know. I feel like based on like the ads and stuff, like that's kind of where this is going. And Thunderbolt Ross is there, and he's like, "Well, let me tell you something, Cap. You need to be. We need to watch these guys. I've been appointed, blah, whatever the hell he's been appointed to some committee to oversee like these guys, like Nuke and these protesters." And
why
some
do they even bother? Like when they do stuff like that, it's like everybody's always like, you know, I'm like just gonna point it to be the subcommittee.
Yeah.
Blah blah blah. Chairman against mutants. It's like, yeah, your name is Stryker. Like we get it. Like you're the guy that's trying to shut down the mutants. Like you always have been. Like,
right.
Why are you always gonna have a new title? Like,
yeah.
Thunderbolt Ross is the hard ass.
Pointing you things like the things.
Thunderbolt Ross just be like, I'm right here and I want to shut down whatever you're doing. Cap is all he needs to do. You know, like they do that all the time.
I know. Like, they even make a reference. He's even like the man in charge up there on Capitol Hill. It's like, oh, Jesus. Like, it's so weird. Yeah, what is this? Our new guy in Washington wanted an experienced hand.
No, I haven't read, I haven't watched all of Luke Cage. I think I watched the first episode, but in Pop's whatever, chocolate shop. No, Pop's barbershop.
Yeah,
he's in there. Shop? That's from Archie. But Luke Cage is.
I thought it was a race thing.
No, no.
Anyway, sorry. Yeah. So Luke Cage is in the barbershop.
He's reading Ta-Nehisi Coates, like his like one of his books.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't like his Black Panther. I don't know. I hope this comes out better. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. That's all I got to say. I don't know. Okay, so one more. Speaking of wedding, we should have segued better. X-Men Gold had their post-wedding issue as well.
Yes, yes, X-Men Gold post-wedding.
Although no reference to like, yeah, like, well, at least we got one wedding. You know what I mean? Like, no reference to Gambit Rogue. But they were just talking a lot about, and Colossus decides like, I can't be here anymore, and good for him.
Yeah, they kind of switch focus over
to Rachel,
like Rachel and Nightcrawler,
Rachel Summers and Kurt. Yeah, so like she's, now you're talking about a deep dive, like we were talking about that woman from year one. This is going back like 40 years or so, almost. Right. Like, you know, like this is a deep cut in the origin of Rachel Summers, and this was what she did in the. Days of Future Past.
Yes, yeah. Time. That's what I really liked about this issue. Actually, was that they went there. Talk about getting older. You know.
Yeah, wow. I know exactly. This is going way back. So, I guess it is about. I think it was 1980, right? When that actually happened. Wow. So yeah, we're going way back.
Well, I guess it's not so recent. Like that movie came out a while ago, but I remember like just being like, okay. The movie's coming out. I'm going to read this. And I bought it on Comixology. And it was a little different than, it's definitely way different than the movie, but
definitely different,
different than what I remember.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's like a 2-issue story.
Yeah, that's right. You think so it's going to be like, if the, oh, yeah. I'm going to read Days of Future Past. You're going to go up to the, to your library and like pull off like a encyclopedia sized thing. No, it's just 2 issues.
No, it's 2 issues. You can dash. You can read it like 20 minutes if you, you know what I mean? It's
like there's like kind of like not filler, but there's like support issues around it, but not nothing really.
No, yeah, maybe they don't really. It's basically those, it's like a couple issues. But, you know, it's they change it up a little bit here. I guess it's fine. It's timeline stuff. You can change it. But really, they're not even really in it. It's all in Rachel's mind because Mesmero, is that, that's his name, right? Yeah. Or Mastermind. Sorry. Wait, which one is it? It's Mastermind. Right?
Well, I saw him and I was like, what is Brainiac doing in this book? He's in DC. yes, it is. Okay.
Mesmero. Whoever it is, yeah, he's one of these. He's fucking with their mind. So, and they're almost doing like an old man Logan thing, where she is taking out the X-Men. You don't know until the very last page that they're like, Rachel, what are you doing? Because Iceman and the other Pyro is there. And
true
like,
Marvel
you...
fashion, Cyclops has an eye patch on one of his
eyes. Yeah, he has a patch. They really they do. They live and die by that patch.
Like, oh, is that guy from the future? Yeah, he's the one with the eye patch.
Yeah, give him. Everybody in the future loses the their one of their eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. It was a fun issue, though.
I thought it
was
really fun. Like very old school X-Men, and you have the split panel on the last page where like you know Iceman and wait, who is that?
That's the new Pyro.
The new Pyro.
Yeah.
I really love this page.
He's like, been hanging out for a little while. Yeah. So Rachel has, in her mind, she's taking out the X-Men. And then it turns out in real time, she has also been taking out the X-Men.
Hopefully just hurting them, not killing
them. Yeah. Not like old man Logan stabbing them to death. But you know. It's cool and it's interesting. They didn't dwell on the wedding stuff all that much, actually.
No, they
They did have a nice, you know, where Colossus was like, yep, I'm out of here. And she's like, well, why?
Colossus staying at the Claire Byrne Hotel, the Claremont John Byrne Hotel.
That was nice.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of that, can we go back to Batman for 1 second? Did you notice all the different names of the creators every time they went to
That's not Tom King though. That's like that's just Batman. That's they're always doing.
No, that. I think it's good. I don't.
Oh, you like it?
It was like they were on like, I don't know. I could the Kane Island or something. You know what I mean?
They like he's fucking fighting Kite Man in like the first page.
Yeah, Kite Man. Well, that was pretty funny. I mean, that was just a fun little thing. But I mean, like she's sitting on the roof of the you know the Kane building or whatever. Like there's all they just have a lot of references to past creators, and I thought it was fun. Whatever, who cares?
I thought you were going to complain about it. So I was
No, I'm not gonna.
Like that too. They'll always do that. Like, well, they'll even like do reference like some. Every time they put a street on any DC thing, like whether it's on CW or like, they always name it after somebody. It could be like, you know, like the letterer for something. You know what I mean? They'll be like, oh, or there's like. It's on the corner of Jansen and Miller Way. Like they just always do that.
Miller, that's when they they use Miller a lot. That's fine. I like it. It's a little
Frank rap. Miller
it's
had that pin up in there too.
Yeah, that was interesting. I mean, it's whatever. It's a little Easter egg for nerds like us. So I don't mind. But anyway, So like, it was a weird. I thought it was kind of weird because I mean, Kitty definitely was like, "Oh, I don't want to marry you," and then she's like, "No, I love you," and he's like, I'm kind of like, good on you, Colossus. You he's like, oh, well, if only that were enough. And he just walks away. Like, come on. It's like, fuck you, bitch. You didn't want me to hang around?
Exactly.
You leave me at the altar? Exactly. Like, what? What is this? What are we going to do, date? And done. But he's going to be an astonishing X-Men, I think. So he'll still be around. He just won't be in gold. So, And then, I don't know, I keep seeing ads for some other extermination something, blah, blah, blah. How many times can they use that
pun? I know, extinction.
What is it called? Yeah, is it extermination, yeah. I don't know what's going on there. But I don't know. It was fine, though. I mean, I'm happy. Like I said, X-Men Gold, it was a good issue. Art was great. Good for Colossus. I'm sure sometime they'll meet again and whatever. Anything else? Did you read? I don't even know if I read anything else. I bought a lot. Well, I bought a lot of books.
We can sort of like lightning round this unless you want to talk more about them. But let's get this out of the way. Star Wars 50. Did you read it?
Oh, I didn't read it yet.
They're like just promising some sort of big fucking change or something or whatever.
Yeah.
You're not really going to get it. So there. I mean, you'll read it eventually.
I'll read it eventually. Yeah. You can tell me what it is.
No, I mean, it's just, it doesn't change things really completely. It's kind of a little bit like, like an ally of theirs that was like this princess lady who was an ally of the rebellion is now Darth Vader comes in and, she kills her own people and now is like turning to the dark side. So she betrays the rebellion. Big surprise.
It's not that book is really, I mean, I know we say it every month, but wow.
Yeah. We had Avengers number 4.
Oh shit! I didn't read that either.
That was a good one because it like all starts to make sense. How the All Father is connected to the Celestials and this new coming of the Celestials and these kind of like icons of Black Panther, Ghost Rider, Doctor Strange, the Hulk.
Right.
They kind of like have old. They're like taking on the Avengers with the new things, and it's funny because. When Thor Odinson is like demanding an explanation from his dad, he's like, no, I'm not going to give you one, but the answer lies in there. And it goes into this really like frozen room. And She-Hulk and Thor bust into through all of this ice. And they're in this like really cold room. And Thor starts to like be like too cold. He's like, I'm freezing in here. And She-Hulk goes, I'll warm you up. And then they make out. It saves his life because he's now warm.
Wow. Think of that.
So that there was you go. Sexy. Odinson. And good. Sexy. Good how they, it's Jason Aaron, so it ties into all of his Thor stuff. So that's cool.
Right.
I had to buy, I will like lightning round this though.
That's okay.
Cosmic Ghost Rider number 1. I had to get it.
I didn't get it. I saw it. I'm like, do I want it? And I ended up putting it down. What was it like? Tell me. It's
completely ridiculous and super fun.
All right.
So Frank Castle, this future Frank Castle, not the current one.
No, this is from the Thanos Winds book.
He ends up, Odin's. Not Odinson, Odin himself, or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Allows him to enter Valhalla after he dies. And so Frank's getting kind of bored, and he kind of fights a guy, he fights a god and, like, tears off his nose while he's there. and Odin is like, dude, I brought you here to, like, this is Valhalla. This is the shit. After you die, Valhalla. Everybody wants this. And he's like, no, I don't belong here. I don't belong here. And Odin's like, you're spitting in my face by not staying here. He's like, no, I don't belong here. And Odin is really like, I'm giving you this gift of being able to stay here.
Right.
And he's like, no, I don't belong here. And he's like, fine. What I'll do instead is, here, you can have this cosmic motorcycle.
Oh, my God.
He merges him to the Spirit of Vengeance. So he's like, fine, you don't want Valhalla? Here's what you get now. You get to be the spirit of vengeance.
Right. And
plus you have like this cosmic motorcycle.
So you can ride sort of like a Silver Surfer surfboard, but it's a motorcycle.
But he's kind of like, I don't know about this. And then he turns it, he gets turned into the Ghost Rider and is kind of like, well, too late. You don't want to hang out in Valhalla. Bye. And he gives him this like sort of space helmet. This is way more like Lobo than it is like anything else.
Yeah, this sounds,
it's completely ridiculous. I love it. He's got, you know, he has a flaming skull. He has a space helmet over it. So all of the flames are just like inside of the helmet, you know, so he can breathe, God. I guess, or whatever. But it's completely ridiculous. And I just think it's fucking great. And then he goes back. He basically kind of, I forget if he goes back in time or whatever, but he like goes back. It's kind of like the baby Hitler thing. He finds baby Thanos and now he has to take care of baby Thanos. Like Cable takes care of Hope.
Oh, okay. Well, so that's how they hook up.
I don't know, man. This is pretty cool. Yeah. So I guess since I never read any of the other stuff, this would be like the origin story.
Sure.
Would you say?
Yeah. That was kind of what, because like in the Thanos book, young Thanos was brought into the future by Cosmic Ghost Rider. And we don't know what the deal is, but he's like, he's got the time gem. So he's like, oh yeah, I wanted you to meet your future self. So old Thanos and new Thanos. Ah. But we kind of find out like through the course of like the story that, yeah, like that Ghost Rider is Frank Castle. And I think at one point he might have even been a Herald of Galactus or something. Yeah. He's got all kinds of powers and he's just, but we don't know where, you know, why he got that way really, but we just find out like, cause it's a fucked up timeline, you know, and right. Thanos killed everybody basically. So
yeah.
So this is kind of the origin story. This is before that basically.
All right.
It's pretty neat.
It's pretty fun actually. I got to say it's
what the hell?
Completely what comic books are for. It's just like completely ridiculous.
Like Donny Cates. I think I would have bought. I spent like $50.
I used to spend a lot of money too.
Which I don't. I don't know if other people do that weekly, but to me, that's a lot.
That's a lot. I spend between $20 and $30 usually, but this week I think I spent like $40, which is on the high end for me. Sometimes sometimes it's 50.
That was a high end for me. Usually it's like somewhere between $20 and $30. But a couple of times, you know, sometimes you have like a week where you spend like
nothing.
$15. Yeah, like I'm like, like $3 this week, whatever. Like,
wow.
But oh well. Maybe next week if I'm spending less, I'll go back to the last week's new arrivals and grab it.
Or wait till it's on sale on Comixology. Just get it.
That's a good idea.
Wolverine, Hunt for Wolverine, Weapon Lost. This is the one with Daredevil. They end up going to like a place in the woods that's sort of like, I guess, the Weapon X building, I guess, you know. And then there's like a guy that looks like the Weapon X Wolverine, like with the thing over his eye. And it turns out that he's a clone. So they haven't gotten any closer to finding out where actual Logan Wolverine is yet, except for that this guy that has the that can connect to technology or whatever, that mutant. He finds a clue.
Cypher.
Yeah. He finds a clue that, you know, is going to lead them away from there and back into the city to find
him. I don't know what to make of this, but there's an ad here for Hunt for Wolverine Dead Ends number one, which I think combines all of the stories because it's got.
Oh, good.
The cover has Iron Man and Storm and, you know, like Sabretooth and Kitty and.
Nice.
Charles Soule is writing that one as well. So a lot of stuff. Looks like we might be spending $50 a week for a while. who knows?
I got. I haven't seen the movie yet. Maybe I'll go today. Ant-Man and the Wasp number 3. Mark Waid on here is a good one. It reminds me. This is like a reference that not everyone is going to know, but. Do you remember when John was coloring Star Trek and there was
the bug people there?
Down to the bug people. So like these this Nadia and Scott Lang are shrunk down so much that they're like on a subatomic level, and all the creatures down there are kind of like the bug people. Way that they interact, and the way that they kind of like are like a little bit human but a little bit like kind of stupid, you know, like they're doing some interesting like quantum physics kind of stuff, but nothing like too cerebral. It's just comic books, you know. And and Nadia's blind, and but by the end of it, Scott Lang is kind of caught between dimensions. Like he's like the negative, almost like in the Monkey's Movie Head, like where the colors are like inverted. Like he's the negative version of himself. She just got struck blind, and now he's negative. So they're fucked. This actually is a really fun book. I didn't think it was going to be anything crazy to write home about. It's not as good as Daredevil. It's not as good as his. I think it's better than the Cap that Wade did, and also I think Mark Waid still is number one comic writer for me. I think he's great. Just sometimes some of his stuff I don't really want to stick with. Better than Black Widow. Ant-Man and the Wasp is something I'll stick with. I think it's good.
All right. There we go.
Lightning round. Over.
Lightning rounded those. You did a good job.
Well, hey. Even if you didn't get to read them quite yet, you'll see what I'm saying.
I know. It's good. I got a quick little blurb.
Yeah, about especially when you read like the anniversary issue, the 50, number 50.
The Star Wars.
Star Wars. You're going to be like, yeah, thanks for not really changing much. I don't really care.
I can't wait.
When are we going to drop it? When are we going to drop it?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because maybe 51 is supposed to be.
Maybe they won't just be like.
Empire stuff.
That's what they promised. Are they going to go to Hoth or something? Like, what is the deal?
I don't know.
Eventually, they're. Well, I guess they don't. Yeah, they're in that time. I don't know.
That feels like the most stuff between movies, besides like the big, huge gaps. Seems like the most stuff between like the original movies is between Episode 4 and Empire, right? Because like Empire ends and it just kind of goes into Jedi.
Right. I mean, there's probably a little while there while they're tracking him down. Obviously, Han wouldn't be involved in any of those adventures. So
yeah,
because he's frozen, and it's kind of just tracking down, Boba Fett. They did a few. They did a run of that back in the Claremont days, way back. But, I don't know.
They did what in the Claremont days?
They did like a series or part of that run. I think it was Claremont, where it was between, Empire and Jedi. And it was about tracking down Boba Fett, and Boba Fett had the, Han and Carbonite, but he had to like other bounty hunters were trying to get him so they could get the reward from Jabba and all this stuff. There was a run of that back in the day. I don't know if that's canon anymore. It probably isn't.
It is not.
Yeah, so.
But they sometimes steal stuff. They steal stuff from the comics and, like, put it into Solo, the movie and stuff. You know, like, they just take from all of it.
Yeah.
All right.
Anywho.
We know there's going to be more Star Wars movies, but will there be another Star Trek movie, do you think?
Yeah, why wouldn't
there? With Chris Pine?
Oh, I mean, I haven't heard, but one, I don't think they're making as much money as they are, so maybe they wouldn't, but
I really
liked the last one. I thought that movie was great. Star Trek Beyond.
I think they're all real good. When I went to watch them, I watched Beyond first, and then the first one, and then I have a few minutes left on Into Darkness, which is, Cumberbatch is awesome. Right, like he's great.
I think it's great. I think that movie is underrated. I don't know why a lot of people I know kind of crapped on it.
The fans. One criticism that I did. I don't know why we're all of a sudden starting talking about Star Trek, except that I'm just obsessed over it. So, there was a criticism I heard of this book, The 50-Year Mission, that was from one of the producers from Enterprise or Next Generation or whatever. Anyways, what he said was, and I kind of agree with him. But it's still a good movie. Like, they have all of Star Trek to do whatever they want with. and they went back to the Wrath of Khan well, which was the most successful movie of the original things, but like they could have done literally anything, you know? Like, why did they, if they're on a new,
because it's a business timeline, and they want to, they know the fans, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, I get what you're saying. I was happy. I loved Khan.
Yeah.
I love
that. It's a very different,
and I wanted to see him again.
Very different story than.
I know, but who cares?
It just has kind of elements of how the people were frozen and stuff. But like Ricardo Montalban, like the characters aren't the same. How they got there is not the same. The threat at the end with the RoboCop is like not the same. Like it's so different. Right. It's so different.
Yeah. But just having him play the character was enough for me.
Yeah. They should have had him take a shirt off. Like,
yeah, it's, you can see his giant breasts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my favorite part of Wrath of Khan.
Ricardo Montalban's big tits.
Yep.
Okay, so we should probably talk before we sign off, of course, Steve Ditko.
Oh.
We should have started off with him, but...
rest in peace, Steve Ditko, co-creator of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Notorious recluse, like one of these artists that's just like... No thanks. I mean, you can watch videos of Alan Moore on YouTube. Like, he does do interviews, and he does
even though he's
speak
supposedly
his mind.
Is,
but no. he's as close. You cannot recreate Steve Ditko. You know, his the way he just really disappeared.
Yeah, and you know, and he also kind of like, well, he went a little off. You know, he had some kind of weird religious stuff going on there. I don't know. I kind of
like
wish John was here.
Objectivism. It's not really religious.
Yeah.
It's like philosophical.
About
how there's no gray area. It's just this black or white. And then he had this. He had this comic book character that created on his own, Mr. A, which is like an objectivist. Like, there's no black or white. I mean, it's all black and white. There's no gray area in life. You know. Chris Ryle from IDW posted a bunch of great stuff this week. Letters he got from Steve that was like, Chris, thank you for the offer. The answer is no. And the no would be in quotation marks. Then Steve Ditko would sign his name and then print his name below it. And it was just like kind of like rude, but also nice that he like wrote a letter to reply to his email or whatever, you know what I mean? Like,
it's so weird. Yeah,
it's such a weird.
Actually wrote a letter with a he was an old dude, so.
And then I guess he did some Rom the Space Knight stuff, so Chris sent him all the new Rom the Space Knight stuff, and he was like, it went on this screed like, this is overly rendered, I did not want to read these comic books, but thank you for sending them. Steve Jacobs. But yeah,
well,
weird complicated guy, weird complicated relationship with Stan Lee, you know.
Yeah. But those old Spider-Mans, I mean, that's what really everyone really remembers him from Spider-Man. Not everyone, but I guess I do, and you should. He was big back in the day.
I can't say that I've read his run. I tried to read it and I really couldn't. Shade the Changing Man is one of my favorite 90s comic books by Peter Milligan and Chris Pachola. He created Shade the Changing Man too.
Oh, okay.
It was totally like a psychedelic kind of I guess it's a little bit like he's a DC's Doctor Strange a little bit, you know.
He also created Doctor Strange. So.
Yep. Can't forget about that. They tried to, you know, kind of immortalize Ditko's drawings in the movie. With Dormammu and like all that stuff. So
they did a good job, I think.
Good tribute to him.
Psychedelicness.
In that movie. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's good that he's good. I remember there was a time where he was kind of like not blacklisted, but people were kind of like, oh, that crazy old man, you know, like, and now he's getting it. Like a lot of those old creators, they're getting their due now. Finally, you know, kind of like they did with Bill Finger and, you know, guys like that. So.
The Art of Steve Ditko is on YouTube. I highly suggest watching it. I watched it yesterday. It's like an hour long. Jonathan Ross. It's called In Search of Steve Ditko. I'm sorry. Jonathan Ross, who like writes comic books and is like a big comic book collector. He like does this really good history and like tons of interviews, and then him and Neil Gaiman show up at Steve Ditko's office and try to go talk to him.
Oh my god!
And this is like 10 years ago. So
wow.
Spoiler warning.
I won't tell you what happened.
But they try to talk to him.
That's very cool. I'll check it out.
It's a good one.
All right. Well, thanks, listening, everybody. R.I.P. Steve Ditko, of course. And thanks, Clay.
Thanks to you.
Thanks, listening, everybody. Check out leakpodcast.com. We got news and events and
Seinfeld and Enthusiasm podcast too.
Yeah, we're gonna pick that up again this holiday. Threw everything for a loop.
That's right. But hopefully more podcasts coming your way.
Yeah, definitely. At some point. All right. Thanks again.
To you.
Thank you.
Later, you fucks.
Not even Mike Nesmith's real hat.